Good morning, everyone. There's a story of an organization in Montana that once offered a bounty of $5,000 for every wolf captured alive. Two hunters named Sam and Jed decided to head off for the hills and make some money capturing wolves. Day and night, they scoured the mountains and the forest, and they always came up empty-handed. Exhausted after 3 days of hunting without any success, they both fell asleep. And during the night, Sam suddenly awoke to find that he and Jed were surrounded by a pack of 50 wolves with flaming red eyes and snarling teeth and were about to pounce on the pair. Sam nudged Jed and said, "Hey, wake up, we're going to be rich." Some just have different ways of measuring success. And what do we mean when we say to be successful? One might measure success as building a business, or building a career, building a family, and having children. We can probably come up with dozens of examples of measuring success. Some might view success as a relative term on what one defines as what makes them happy. All these may be relevant definitions of success. But over the years, I've met a lot of people who fall in any one of those kinds of categories who, despite their measure of success, are miserable. We have all seen or heard of lottery winners who lose everything in a few years because they couldn't handle what they had. Workaholics lose their families because of misplaced priorities in their lives. So even though some will say they are successful, they may be at the same time feel like they are looking down the throat of an angry pack of wolves. So what is success? Now, I want to say right up front that this is not going to be a prosperity sermon. That is, that God is the big daddy in the sky who wants to give you everything you ever hoped and dreamed for. But I also believe that God desires that you succeed, and I believe he wants you to prosper. Now, that sounds like it might be contradictory, but it's not really. Because how we perceive success and how God wants you to succeed may be two different things. This is all related to what we have been talking about over the last couple of weeks, God's plan and purpose for our lives. In other words, allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you with his desires and then allowing that to grow to be the desire for you. You see, a desire that is born from the Holy Spirit comes from within. It comes through prayer. It comes through seeking God with all of your heart. It comes from a burning desire to know God and listening to him. And then everything else in our lives comes together as a desire to please God. There's a popular praise song that part of the chorus goes like this. "My heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out." When you have asked Jesus Christ into your life and the Holy Spirit to empower you and to guide you, we need to expect something to happen that he will guide you, that he will place desires in your heart, and that will consume us from the inside out. Let's look at our gospel lesson today. Here is Jesus who is teaching, and the crowds are just flocking to him to come and see what he has to say. They want to hear it. As I pointed out last week, the Spirit of God is on him. It is part of who he is. He is God incarnate. So when he teaches or preaches, it is with power and authority as he reveals himself to those around him and to us. His words will have power like no other. So naturally, when he spoke and taught, it was stirring the deepest part of the people's hearts inside. So these crowds are pressing in on Jesus, and his back is to the water on this lake. And there is Peter, called Simon at that time, and his crew. Many would call Peter a successful businessman. He has a crew working with him, a partner in business. He owns his boats. But he had a bad night, and they are closing up shop for the day. And Jesus comes along and says to Peter, take me out a little bit so I can talk to the crowd. So Jesus gets in the boat and Peter takes him out. But then look what happens. After his teaching, Jesus says, come on, Peter, go out a little bit deeper into the water and throw your nets over the side. Now Peter has a choice to make. I can listen and do what Jesus is telling me to do, or I can argue with him because I'm a fisherman. I know my trade. I know that there are no fish out there today. I've been fishing all night. My crew has been fishing. We're tired. I know there's where the fish are, and they're not here. And today, they're somewhere else. Several years ago, when I was an associate rector at St. John's in Naples, one of our parishioners was a retired doctor who loved the Lord with all of his heart, and he also loved to fish. And he was good at it. And he took me and our two oldest children out to the reefs about 20 miles offshore to do some fishing. He had a GPS system, and he knew exactly where his spot was. Fishermen are very protective when it comes to their spot. Because they don't want other fish, they don't want others to fish it out. They want it to grow, but they also want the fish to be there when they get there. Anyway, he came to his spot and he said, drop your line over and in 15 seconds you'll have some grouper. And I thought, yeah, right. But sure enough, within 15 seconds of dropping our lines, we were hauling in grouper. As we finished the day at that spot, we can only keep three or four because of the size limits. And as I would hear about it for days, none of the fish that I caught were in those size limits. But Jesus didn't have a GPS. He had the Holy Spirit. He told Peter to throw the net over. And here is the important part to this. What did Peter say? He said, because you say so, I will let down my nets. You see, Peter has also been listening and learning from Jesus. Peter was in that boat when Jesus was teaching. He knows something is stirring in his heart as well now. He didn't say, no, it's not worth it. He didn't say, no, I'm smarter than you. Something was stirring inside, and even though this doesn't make any sense to me, I know there's something about Jesus. He speaks with authority. He teaches with authority. Because you say so, Lord, I'll let down the net. And look what happens. The nets begin to get full and fuller and fuller, and the nets were so full that they began to break. Peter had to call over his crew for help, and they came out and started to pull the fish in into two boats. And the boats were so full that they almost sank. What a blessing that was for Peter, and what an object lesson it would be in the future. You might say he was successful that day, but not in the sense that we think. He didn't know what to expect when Jesus asked him to go out. He was just doing Jesus a favor. But Jesus blessed him beyond measure. Peter didn't make a deal with Jesus and say, okay, I'll take you out if you'll give me an abundance of fish afterwards. Success for Peter came when he knelt down before Jesus and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And at that moment, he knew that there was something bigger here than he could ever imagine. His heart from the inside out was changing, was being consumed by the Holy Spirit. His whole attitude became different. And then Peter's life changed. Jesus said, if Peter, the same thing God said to Jeremiah that we heard last week, don't be afraid. Sometimes fear might try to grip us when we realize there is something bigger than we are that wants to work through us. And it takes us by surprise. Some might pray and don't expect anything to happen. It's beyond their reasoning. We don't always know what will happen or when it will happen, but when we take a concern before God, we give it to Him. It's not about us. It's about just it's about our response to faith. It's all about God. We have seen so many times here people blessed and touched by God. healings that were unexplainable, doors opened that were otherwise closed. You see, God wants to use us. He wants us to listen to Him. He is in the life-changing business. And a change comes from inside as He touches our heart. The other day at our healing service, a young man walking down the street, troubled by what he was going through in life, sees cars in our parking lot, walks right in at the beginning of the healing service, comes up for prayer at the prayer time, and wants to be baptized. We talked and prayed as he surrendered his life to Christ. And after the service, we all stayed and witnessed this young man rededicate his life to Christ as we confirmed it in baptism. He was at the service this morning. He came back. Paul is another example. God is moving in our lives, in our midst. And Paul is another example. There is probably not a Jew alive in his day that wouldn't say Paul wasn't successful as a human in human terms. Paul had everything going for him. He was Jewish, yet he was also a Roman citizen. He could literally go wherever he wanted to go with that kind of clout. But not only was he Jewish, he was a Pharisee among the Pharisees, we're told. He was extremely well taught and educated. He knew the law backwards and forwards. He was a zealot regarding the law and the commandments. And anything that got in the way of that, he sought to rectify it, get rid of it, as he tried to do with Christianity. He had heard knowledge beyond many in his day. So nothing was going to change that until he came face to face with the risen Lord on that road and was thrown to the ground. Until he was blinded and then had his eyes opened again. Until God, by the Holy Spirit, changed the very heart of Paul. And the eyes of his heart were opened as well. Then this successful Jew and Roman citizen, by every means measurable on the outside, had a radical change on the inside. Then Paul looked not at success as we would define it, but how God would define it. He didn't lose his knowledge. He didn't lose his status. In fact, it was used to his advantage. What changed was his priorities. Seeking God first in all things. The message he took to the churches, though difficult, changed the course of history. It changed Rome. It changed the Middle East. It changed the lives of thousands and thousands of people then. And it changed lives of millions and millions, and I would say billions of people in the course of the last 2,000 plus years. What was Paul's success? Being transformed through Jesus Christ by listening to the Holy Spirit and being led into something that is beyond measure. We have a choice in listening and being used by God. Peter could have said no, but he was changed from the inside out and he couldn't ignore what God was doing in his heart. Paul could have said no, but he was changed from the inside out and God blessed him. Every need was fulfilled. Every step was guided. Every way was prepared for him. And God, by his Spirit, does that for us today. Folks, it hasn't changed. It's the same Spirit. He wants us to be used. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to prosper. He wants to prosper us in what he has for us. Not by any standard we can measure, but only by the standards he measures. He may call you into something new, like he did me. Or God can and will use you where you are, and he will, and he wants to. When I worked in industry, I was in human resources and occupational safety and health for 18 years. I knew at that time that as I was going through that, that's not what God had for me in the long run. But I also knew I had to grow. I had to be mature in where I was going. There was much to learn, much to be molded. Yes, God wants us to prosper. Yes, God wants us to succeed. But we have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to reach into the depths of our being and allow him to change us to mold us into persons he wants us to be. And as we continue to grow, we will see success we've never thought about. Peter went from fishing for fish to fishing for men. And if you recall, after his first sermon, 3,000 people came to Christ that one day. Was it always easy? No. He faced tremendous opposition along the way. Jesus faced opposition. We all face opposition from time to time. But when our focus is on Christ, when we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with from the inside out, we are able to face anything that comes our way. And that, folks, is true success. That is success that we should all be striving for. When Isaiah, a successful man, was touched by the Lord, he recognized just who he really was. He said, too, "I am a man of unclean lips." And God touched him and changed his life and reborn him, actually, as a prophet of God. And then look what God did. Isaiah was a mouthpiece for the Lord that still rings through history today. Like Isaiah, like Peter, like Paul, like countless others, God wants you to succeed. He wants to bless you. And that blessing begins on the inside. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to guide you, to sustain you, and to consume you from the inside out. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit, that you want us to succeed in what you have for us. So I pray for each person here, whatever each person is going through in life, Lord God, that you would touch them, bless them, Lord. Help them to see you and to walk through this journey that you have with them, all of us, as we seek you to guide us and to fulfill us in the call you have in our life and the plans that you have for us and the plans you have, again, as I said the last couple of weeks, the plans you have for this parish and the plans you have for the body of Christ in this community and beyond. So, Father, use us, we pray. Fill us with your presence, and we look forward to what you will do in each and every life here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.